If you don't know John 17, I want to encourage you to spend time with it. It's a section that holds what is often called Jesus' high priestly prayer. It is Jesus praying in the way that the Old Testament, the priests of Israel would pray. Praying for the world, praying for God's presence to be known. But this prayer is unique to Jesus. Here is the very Son of God coming before His Father and our Father in prayer, interceding for people as a priest, but also praying specifically for His followers and for those who through His followers would come to know Him as Savior and Lord. Before I read His prayer, I want you to be aware of where it's placed and what comes next. So if you open your Bibles to John chapter 17, you'll see His prayer. Sometimes it's printed in red in some Bibles. Imagine Jesus being in that upper rented room where He had been with His disciples. He gathered with them for the last time, and He washed their feet as a servant, completely stunning them. And then they shared the Passover meal, and He took the bread and He broke it, and He said, "This is My body broken for you." And then He took the cup and blessed it and said, "This is My blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." And then He talked to them for quite a while, about three chapters worth in our Bibles. And then He prayed the prayer that we're going to pray. But then look at what happened next. Chapter 18. In chapter 18, right after Jesus prayed, we have details about His betrayal by Judas. And then the soldiers come into the Garden of Gethsemane and arresting Him and taking Him off to beat Him and charge Him with blasphemy, and which would all lead to His crucifixion. And Peter, later in chapter 18, we read about Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, denying ever having known Him. "I don't know the man." All these dark and horrible things were just about to come, and Jesus prayed. That's where this prayer sits, right before all that. So let's hear this powerful prayer of Jesus. I was going to read just the last part of it, but it's hard just to read part of this prayer. So John 17, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus said this, meaning all this teaching He had done, He looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have brought Your glory on earth by finishing the work You gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began. I have revealed You to those whom You gave Me out of the world. They were Yours, You gave them to Me, and they have obeyed Your word. Now they know everything You have given me. Now they know that everything You have given Me comes from You. For I gave them the words You gave Me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from You, and they believed that You sent Me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those You have given Me, for they are Yours. All I have is Yours, and all You have is Mine, and glory has come to Me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to You. Holy Father, protect them by the power of Your name, the name You gave Me, so that they may be one as We are one. While I was still with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name You gave Me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to You now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of My joy within them. I've given them Your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that You would take them out of the world, but that You protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. And I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that I myself may be in them. This is the prayer of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as we all know, one of the iconic figures in Christian faith died this past week, Reverend Billy Graham. A remarkable man, a self-confessed sinner. He was very clear about that every time he spoke. But he was used by God. This sinful man was used by God in ways beyond what anybody could have ever imagined when he first began preaching. God's impact through Billy Graham was astounding. Now he's gone home. So let me ask you, how many of you ever attended an event where Billy Graham spoke? Would you put your hands up? Wow! Look at this. It's amazing, isn't it? Maybe for some of you it was a huge change point. Maybe it was the change point where you took a step. You prayed a prayer. You had people praying with you. And you yielded your life to Jesus, and life has never been the same since. Some of you have a story to tell about that, whether it's a Billy Graham event or not, but that change point, a story that we haven't heard yet. So I want to encourage you to think about sharing your story from up here. Talk with me about when it might be to share your story of coming to know Jesus in this powerful, life-changing way. I remember a guy named Bob for whom a Billy Graham crusade was when everything changed. He'd grown up as a non-practicing Jew, a man of really no faith whatsoever. He went through a bad marriage and a painful divorce and then remarried, this time to a woman named Sally. But Bob was an alcoholic and he was abusive. He was bad news in every direction. A friend invited Bob to go with him to hear Billy Graham. And Bob agreed, but it was with rolling eyes, he told me. It was like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this. So he went with his friend. He told me that most of the time in the stadium, he sat there with his arms crossed, just people watching, hoping that Graham would end soon so he could get out of there and just get on with everything else in his life. But something Billy Graham said during this sermon cut through that hard exterior, and Bob said he noticed something changing right there in his seat. And when the invitation came to come forward, Bob got up and went forward. And he told me that when hands were laid on him in prayer, he said he felt something in and on his body. He literally felt himself being wrapped by Jesus. And the awfulness of his life, his sins, the abuse that he had been part of. He said it felt like a dirty, heavy coat was just lifted off of him. And he crumpled. He just fell to the ground. Bob hadn't seen this coming. He just went because a friend invited him to go. And in a weak moment, he said, sure. But he left as a changed man, a sinner of course. And needing to work hard with alcohol, against alcohol, and against these abusive patterns that had been part of his life for so long. But now he knew he was doing it with the power of Jesus Christ at work in him and around him. I came to know him a few years after this, and he told me this story during a long rain delay at the Baltimore Orioles game at Camden Yards. My point here is not just about Bob and his changed life. And it's not about Billy Graham. It's about this. A friend. A friend who was a follower of Jesus invited a friend. He invited Bob to go with him. A friend who had been praying for Bob followed through on that next step, prompted by prayer, to invite Bob, not knowing where this would go. A friend who was a friend of Jesus wanted these two to become friends, Bob and Jesus. And they did. And for the rest of his life, Bob could name the date and the place, the section, and even the seat in that stadium where he gave his life. Bob died quite a few years ago. But his life goes on in Jesus. I don't know who Bob's friend was. But Bob said that his friend had been praying for him for years. This friend had been naming Bob's name before the God of all of creation. Bob, 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 asking for God to move in powerful ways. And by God's grace, he was given the prompting to invite Bob to go to that Billy Graham crusade, assuming that Bob would maybe say no, but he said yes, and he went. It always begins in prayer. Always. We begin with prayer. We keep at it in prayer. We persist in prayer. We each, all of us, we have our own stories. And I don't want to make the assumption ever that everybody in here all the time all have a very close, growing, living relationship with Jesus. In fact, a prayer that I pray week by week is that we would have people in worship who are really on the edge. They're just sniffing around the edges, not sure at all about who Jesus is, but they're here for worship. And maybe that might be some of you. We all have our own stories. Whether it's a powerful turnabout conversion or slow incremental steps along the way, or maybe we're still sniffing around the edges, not quite sure. And embedded in our stories, more than likely, are the names and faces of people, family, friends, neighbors, acquaintances, who were or are still praying for us. Who is it for you? Who could you name who was or is lifting your name up before the God of all creation praying for you? Who comes to mind? I'd like to encourage you to write their name down somewhere in your bulletin. Write it down as a way to honor them, to remember them. If they're still alive, if they're present, call them. Send them a note. Say, I remember. It's a way to honor this and to give God thanks. This is our role with others. We do a lot of things as the church, but this is our role. Nobody else is going to do this but the Church of Jesus Christ. This is our role. For those who are actively following Jesus, this is our role to be prayers, to be name-namers, to be alert in our hearts for who it is God is pressing upon us in prayer, and to follow God's lead and to pray and to pray and to pray and to pray. Praying for God's presence and love to be unmistakably known to the Bobs in our lives. We're to be name-namers. And then we're to be step-takers. Name-namers and step-takers, like that friend of Bob's was. That's a powerful, sacred role we are given. And we begin in prayer. We begin in prayer. We begin in prayer so that it's not just about us and about our own ideas. We begin in prayer so that we don't regard people we're praying for like a project to be fixed. People can smell that from a mile away. We begin in prayer humbly, alert to who it is who God has put in our hearts and put in our paths. Listen again to verses 21 and 20, or 20 and 21 from John 17. Jesus prayed, "My prayer is not for them alone," meaning not for those who already believe and who are already following. "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message," which literally reads in the Greek text, "who will believe in me through their words." Your words, my words, our words, shaped by the Holy Spirit. We don't need a script. We don't need to memorize something. We need Holy Spirit-given words. We just need the Holy Spirit to give us the words. And how cool is that? Well, there are three brief things right out of this text that I want to point out. Three summarizing words. All three words are not specifically in here, but the content is. Delighted, devoted, and united. So the first one, delighted. It's just what I said about how cool is that to have the Holy Spirit giving us words, the Holy Spirit giving us prompting. That's not directly out of Scripture, but this is. Jesus prayed in verse 13 that we would have the full measure of joy within us. Or as it reads in the message, that we would have the full measure of joy within us. As name-namers, as step-takers, the full measure of joy, the word in the original text means spilling over. It means like a pitcher of water that is filled all the way up and spilling over. That's the full measure of joy. It means to be delighted in this, to really enjoy this by His power at work within us. It's a joyful thing to be in the presence of God and to see people who are remote from Jesus come to know Jesus. I can't think of anything more marked with joy than that. And that's why we begin in prayer. So that it's Him paving the way for us and opening doors. So that it's Jesus setting up the connections and the opportunities and giving us the words. So that it's Him who brings the delight in this. It's not an onerous task. It's a joy to do this. And so He prays that we will have the full measure of joy as we follow in this path, delighted. The second word is devoted, which I used with the kids this morning. We need to be devoted because it's not going to be easy. We know that. It won't happen with a casual commitment because there are opposing forces at work. Listen again to verses 14 through 17. Jesus prayed, "I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Jesus prays that we would be sanctified in this work that faces opposition. To be sanctified means to be given completely over to God, to have God's holiness at work in us, changing us, protecting us, but also propelling us forward through barriers and oppositions, however it comes. And it's not an easy path, but it's a holy one, and it's a sanctified one. It's a holy one, a sanctified one, marked with joy. Those who are not devoted are not going to stay at it. And that's why we begin with prayer. Praying for God's holy presence to help us and to be with us, guiding us where He intends us to go. Which leads to that third point. So it's delighted, devoted, and then united. Jesus' prayer is for us to be one in mission, one in purpose, actually one in heart, moving in the same direction, supporting and working with each other as much as those gold medal winning Olympic teams. One, united, harmony. Listen to his prayer again, verses 22 and 23. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and they in me, so that they may be brought into complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This may be the hardest thing of all. To stay united. Because this is where opposition makes itself most apparent and comes most quickly. Because think of all the many things that around which we can quickly divide. How quickly things can fall apart between any of us. There's a whole host of issues today over which people get red-faced. Many of them having to do with politics. There are things that we cannot talk openly about right now. There are things that we have to handle very gingerly. And it should not be so, should it? Especially not in the body of Christ, the church. Not if Jesus is the one who shapes what we value, and if Jesus is the one who's the lens for how we see the world, and if it's His word that we hold on to as a guide for what we follow and what we support and what we oppose. Because when we become divided in mission, in heart, in relationship, in what we're doing, how can we be united in mission if we're divided? And people will see this. They'll smell it out. Hypocrisy. Naming it for what it is. Posers. Pretenders. And so we begin in prayer. We begin in prayer. We persist in prayer. Praying as Jesus did, that we may be one with Him and each other as He and the Father are one. All for His glory, united in Jesus. So we begin in prayer as name-namers. And then as step-takers. As people invited into the delight of being witnesses of who Jesus is. And by His grace, seeing the lights come on for other people. We're called to be people who are devoted to this in mission, knowing that it's no easy path and that we will, in fact, face opposition. And we do this as people called to be united with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with each other, all for God's glory. So look again at that insert in your bulletin today. As I said earlier, if there are names, you can write them down in two columns and tear off one, give it to the ushers at the door. And again, these will be prayed over. They won't be posted, published. And if you need to give this more thought and more prayer, I don't just want to encourage you to write down random names, but if you need more time, please take it. It's God's timing. It's God's work. It's not about us. It's about God at work in this world through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, these prayers, it's to pray for people to come into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Transformed lives. To know the power of Jesus Christ at the center of life. Let's pray. Lord, only You know who You may be pressing upon us. Whether we write down names or not, that's simply a tool. But who You may be pressing upon us to be alert to hold before You in prayer and to hold ourselves there too, so that in Your timing and in Your way, You will give us that next step. That next conversation of potential of inviting, going off to do something together. Whatever it might be, Lord, we pray that it would be You doing this. That we would simply be people who have yielded our lives and our schedules over to You. Move in us and through us, and may we be prayerful name-namers and prayerful step-takers, delighted in following You, devoted followers of You, and united as one body all through You. We pray it all in Your name. Amen. I'd like to invite you to please stand.
Please join me as we read in unison. Lord, set Your covenant blessing upon us. Confirm us in the truth by which we rightly live. Confront us with the truth from which we wrongly turn. We ask not for what we want, but for what You want, as we offer ourselves to You through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.